Well, I am very glad to be here this morning. I think it worked out well that I was already scheduled to be here today. There's no one else I would rather be with today than you guys. And I think, you know, there aren't that many people that can say that they have two church homes, but I really feel like I have two church homes. Whenever I'm here, I feel like I'm a part of this church, and I'm really, really thankful for that. And there's a few things that have changed since the last time I was with you. So we'll be covering a lot of ground today. I want to spend a little time reflecting on Psalm 121. And then I will update you on the orphanage project, and then we will talk a little bit about what's going on with Hope Life Center. So let's all start by turning to Psalm 121 together. And I'm going to be reading from a book that Julie gave me to read a while back. It's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction by Eugene Peterson. And I'm sure some of you have had the experience of Julie giving you a book to read. When she gives you a book to read, you better read it, because it's a good book. And that has been true of this book. This is a very, very good book. I've enjoyed it very much, and it's been very challenging. But I just thought this morning, all of us having lost a dear friend, this is the best time for us to be reminded of how good God is, because he is very, very good. And I want to reflect on that this morning. So let's go ahead and read Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. And just a little side note here. At the time that this psalm was written, the moon carried connotations with it of emotional illness or emotional trauma, and that's where we got the word lunacy from. So this is saying you will be sheltered from the sun, you will be sheltered from the moon at night also, which is the emotional or psychological pain that we might experience. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. So if we're really to take these words seriously, we read them and think, okay, so this psalm is telling us that God is going to protect us from all these things, from you know, stumbling as we're walking along the road, from the heat of the sun, from the moon, you know, from emotional and psychological pain. And then we look at our lives and think, well, I know plenty of Christians who have sprained their ankles or gotten a sunburn, you know, or had some sad emotions that they've had to walk through. So what's going on here? You know, is God really not who he says he is? Or are the people that I thought Christians really not Christians? You know, what's going on here? And, you know, it's either one of those two things, or we read the psalm wrong. You know, we have a wrong understanding about what it looks like for God to protect us. And really, the Bible never suggests that a life of faith exempts us from difficulties. We never see that in the Bible at all. But what the Bible does promise is preservation from the evil in them. Another translation here where it says, the Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. Other translations say he shields you from all evil. The Lord shields you from all evil. And so we may walk through difficult circumstances, but the evil in those circumstances doesn't need to get inside of us. God shields us from that. So, quoting from the book, all the water in the oceans cannot sink a ship unless it gets inside, nor can all the trouble in the world harm us unless it gets within us. And that's what this psalm promises, is protection from that. So I'm just going to read a little bit of Eugene Peterson's commentary on this psalm, because it's very good. The Christian life is going to God. In going to God, Christians travel the same ground that everyone else walks on, breathe the same air, drink the same water, shop in the same stores, read the same newspapers, are citizens under the same governments, pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline, fear the same dangers, are subject to the same pressures, get the same distresses, are buried in the same ground. The difference is that each step we walk, each breath we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God. We know we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure or what accidents we experience, the Lord will guard us from every evil. He guards our very life. Psalm 121, learned early and sung repeatedly in the walk with Christ, clearly defines the conditions under which we live out our discipleship, which in a word is God. Once we get this psalm in our hearts, it will be impossible for us to gloomily suppose that being a Christian is an unending battle against ominous forces that at any moment may break through and overpower us. Faith is not a precarious affair of chance escape from satanic assault. It is the solid, massive, secure experience of God who keeps all evil from getting inside us, who guards our life, who guards us when we leave and when we return, who guards us now, who guards us always. Isn't that good? So now I'm going to transition into talking about my orphanage for a little bit. I think the last update you guys got from me in person was actually at my fundraising banquet, which was quite a while ago. That was last November. And a lot has changed since then. This is what the orphanage looks like now. This picture was taken on October 2nd, and those are the 58 children that are going to live in this home. So I love getting these pictures in my inbox. It's wonderful. And I really want to thank you guys, because this church really got behind that project, and you guys gave generously. You gave sacrificially, and my goal was to raise $65,000 to build this building, and we raised over $72,000. And there are, the orphanage is going to have room for 100 children. There are 58 children that live in that area right now. So once the orphanage is completed and opened, which is scheduled to happen in December, they are going to be able to rescue some children that are currently in child slavery in that area and bring them into that orphanage. So my next project with the orphanage is getting all of the children sponsored. 20 of the children are sponsored already monthly. So I'm looking for 80 more children to be sponsored at $30 a month. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can talk to me about that afterwards. But something else that you guys might want to know that we didn't know at the banquet, because we hadn't chosen the location of the orphanage yet at my fundraising banquet, this orphanage is in a little village called Atapaca, which is right just outside of Bhadrakalem, India, right on the bank of the Godavari River, which is considered to be one of the holiest rivers in India. And so Bhadrakalem is a huge pilgrimage city in India, which is really neat because it means that there's a lot more development there. There's hospitals, there's universities, and that kind of thing. So the children in the orphanage are going to have access to all of those things. But the other neat thing about that is that my friend Bishop Jacob, his vision is to change India from the orphans that came off the street. And so the children in this orphanage are going to be pastors. They're going to be missionaries. They're going to be going out and sharing the gospel, and they are growing up right on the banks of this holy river where all of these people are going all the time to worship these false gods. And so it is a very dark area, but this home here is going to be a light in that area, sharing the gospel in the midst of that darkness. And I'm very excited about that. The other thing that we did not know at the banquet is these children are actually already living in an orphanage, but the orphanage doubles as an elderly home and an orphanage, and the government was not okay with that. You know, they didn't want those two things happening in the same building. So they needed to build a new building to relocate either the elderly or the children, and if they weren't able to do that, the government said they were going to come in and put one of the groups back on the street, whether it be the children or the elderly. So not only are we providing a home for 100 children, but we are also protecting the 28 elderly people that live in this facility. So that's really cool. I love that. So that's the wrap-up for the orphanage. Now I'm going to go ahead and share with you guys a little bit about Hope Life Center. I accepted the position of executive director at Hope Life Center in May, and I'm really enjoying being there. And I think most of you are familiar with Hope Life Center, but just by chance, you know, in case there's someone here who doesn't know what Hope Life Center does, I just want to give you a quick history on where Hope Life Center came from. So 30 years ago, our founders, Mark and Laura Pettigrew, prayed, and they were asking God to show them a way to reach out to women in our community who were experiencing unplanned pregnancies with alternatives to abortion. And from those faithful prayers that they prayed so many years ago has sprung what we now know as the Hope Life Center. And our doors have been open for 27 years. And in those 27 years, we have shared the love of Jesus with thousands of men and women in our community and also saved many babies from abortion. So it's been an incredible 27 years and given us a lot of experience. And with that experience that we have, we believe that we're in a position now where we have an opportunity to reach even more women and children than ever before with the greatest gift of all, which of course is life. And shortly after I accepted the position of executive director, I read the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 10:42. And these words gave me the focus and the direction that I was looking for as I took on my new responsibilities. And I'm going to read them to you now. It reads from the message, "This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty. And these words really perfectly describe the ministry that we do at Hope Life Center every single day. It is a large work to save the lives of the unborn, and it is a large work to save the lives of the children of these parents with the message of the gospel. But that large work is done by doing a small thing well, and that is giving a cup of water to someone who is thirsty. Now, at Hope Life Center, the cup of water that we give out is not usually in liquid form, as you can imagine. Sometimes the cup of water is in the form of truth shared with a young pregnant girl who walks into our center scared and alone and unsure of what to do. And society is telling her her only option is to eliminate the life inside of her. But deep down inside, she knows that's not right. Every woman knows that deep down inside. And she walks through our door, and there we stand with our cup of water extended and the encouragement to her to make the right choice. You know, we give her a word of hope and a word of truth in that situation that says, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Sometimes our cup of water comes in the form of post-abortion support. Women come to us traumatized by past abortions. These women have not been told that abortion is the most harmful choice they could make, not only for their child, but for them as well. And we introduce these women to the grace of God to heal and restore broken hearts and mistakes. And sometimes the cup of water is in the form of STD testing. We get to talk to young men and women about the dangers of premarital sex. And every now and then they listen to us, which is wonderful. And sometimes the cup of water is in the form of education as we teach a young mother about prenatal care. Now she can deliver a healthy baby. Sometimes the cup of water is in the form of parenting classes. We not only help our clients give life to their children, but we help them become the parents that were never modeled in their own home. And through this education that we're giving, our two centers are really impacting the future of our community for the better. We're changing the future because there are many children in our community who will never experience abuse because we're breaking that cycle of abuse in the family with our parenting classes. So here is the good news about what we did in the past 12 months. Because of our partnership with you as a church, you support us, and because of our partnership with many other churches and individuals in the community, in the past 12 months, we were able to touch the lives of 414 men, women, and children in the name of Jesus. And the neat thing about this number is that that is a 52% increase over the year before. Now that's tremendous. You know, that's pretty significant. But we're not satisfied with that number. We want that number to get bigger. And I'll tell you why. Each month in our immediate area here surrounding us, there are over 10,000 internet searches for abortion-related information. That's a lot of people looking for abortion information. And most of these women in our community that are seeking abortions aren't walking through our door. And we want that to change. So over the next year, we're going to be implementing a marketing initiative that will reach out to these women where they are. And we intend to give them a sound and powerful reason to make Hope Life Center the first place they go when they're experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. And our investment in reaching these women and their unborn children will be $75,000. 53,000 of this will be used for our operating budget, and 22,000 will be used to reach out to these women through a new marketing initiative that we're implementing. So on Thursday night at our fundraiser, I believe we raised around $50,000. The dust is still settling after the event, so we don't have the exact number yet. So don't hold me to that number. But that leaves us still with a need for $25,000. And we also have a need for $3,855 in monthly pledges at the moment. So we are looking for people in our community to partner with us in saving lives in our community. And I want to introduce you to one of our clients that received a cup of water from Hope Life Center. Bill's going to play a video for you.
I'm Andrea. I'll be 40 at the end of this month. I come from a very abusive background. When I found out I was pregnant, I was addicted to drugs. I was in an extremely violently domestic abusive situation. Just chaotic. I was lost. I was alone. I was terrified about being pregnant alone. And I just walked in the door not knowing what to expect. I wasn't judged, which is what I expected. I expected everybody to judge me because I was judging myself. And they didn't judge me. They gave me compassion. They listened. They helped me. They had awesome programs, and I kept going back week after week. And the counselor that I saw there, Sarah, decided she was going to say, hey, why don't you come to church with me one weekend? And I went with her, and I ended up getting saved and baptized. And being saved means peace. Somebody to give all my problems to. Somebody that I know is always there. Thank you for the support you give, because without hope, I honestly would still be lost. I never would have gone to a church. I never would have gotten saved. I never would have stuck with it. If that program wasn't, if the people at Hope weren't there and they weren't the way they are and didn't have the doors open, who knows, I may have gone back to what I was in before. I don't know where my life would have gone. All I know is that Hope managed to go in there and meeting the people I did, managed to save me and my child.